What you have just heard, ladies and gentlemen, is a warning. You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper.
Carolyn Nelson, right here.
We have an awful lot to talk about tonight, folks. But first I want to tell you, today was the day that I went to town to see the elephant, and Pooh rode it. Today, St. John's was visited by one of the oldest and greatest institutions in America. The circus came to town. We still live in a rural area where the circus comes to town. They have the circus parade. They pitch the tent, and we watch the acts under the big top. Pooh rode the elephant, and you should have seen the light in her eyes. You haven't lived, ladies and gentlemen, until you've taken two little girls and a 13-year-old boy to the circus. When I go, I don't even see what's happening out there in the middle of the ring. I just watch their faces. And believe me, it's one of the greatest rewards in life to see the joy on the faces of those young children at a real circus. The circus doesn't even have to be very good, folks, because at that age, they don't know whether it's good or not. And if you live in one of those cities where the circus is inside the convention center, then you haven't really been to a circus, unfortunately. For it is one of the greatest joys that you can possibly experience. Unfortunately, it is a respite from the reality that we face in the real world. And we cannot long be away from that real world. Thank you. The United Nations is taking aim at world gun control. That's right. You heard it here first. The United Nations is working so quietly that even the gun lobby hasn't noticed. The United Nations is beginning to set its sights on global gun control as a part of all the treaties that have been entered into by all the nations, including the United States, as a part of global disarmament. And you heard that here first also during our airing of the treason series. And those of you who have purchased the treason papers, you are holding the proof in your hands. The United Nations Disarmament Commission has adopted a working paper, a basis for future debate that proposes tighter controls on the gun trade in the United States and other member nations as a way of combating international arms trafficking. Control of the entire world is on its way. It is not far off. In fact, on paper, ladies and gentlemen, it is a done deal, has been a done deal for many, many years. Unfortunately, tonight I am going to scare you half to death. The anti-trafficking campaign is led by the government of Colombia, which feels besieged by a flood of assault rifles and handguns smuggled out of the United States. And they say, by the same Colombian drug traffickers who supply most of the cocaine used in America, but that is a lie. The United Nations is lying to you for the real drug traffickers and arms traffickers are the military and the intelligence community, the Central Intelligence Agency, Army G2, the Office of Naval Intelligence, the Defense Intelligence Agency. The United States Army, the United States Air Force, and the United States Navy. People like James Bogreitz could tell you all about it, as he was the commander in charge of Operation Watchtower in Central America, which was to build and put in place the radio beacon towers that the guns for drugs aircraft used to navigate. And it was also his job to ensure the safety and security of those flights. Many of you have been fooled by this wolf in sheep's clothing. Everyone, close your eyes for just a few seconds while I take you through an exercise in reality. You're being told that third world, uneducated drug lords are supplying drugs to our children in the streets of America. It is a lie. And you can prove it to yourself in just a few seconds. Close your eyes. In the back of your eyelids, draw a picture of the United States of America, Alaska, Hawaii, and all of our possessions. On that map, put a dot, a mental dot, for every town and city in this great nation. Now, if you have the same map that I have on the back of my eyelids, you've got too many dots to even begin to count tonight. Or if you did, you'd still be counting tomorrow morning. You see, ladies and gentlemen, on every street corner in this country, at almost any time of day or night, anyone who wants to purchase drugs can do so. In every one of those towns and cities that you've just placed, in every state, in every territory, throughout this nation. Are you trying to tell me a third world Colombian drug lord with no high school education has set up the logistics, the supply line, the umbrella of security, the vast network of distribution and protection for that distribution network, the great sales force that stands on these street corners and in these crack houses, and distributes the drugs to our children and to those adults who have become addicted to these drugs. Some of you are sitting in your homes now under the influence of some of those drugs as you listen to this program. Do you really believe that is what is happening? There isn't a third world drug lord in this entire world who has the money or the brains or the capabilities to put such a network together, protect it, and make it work. You see, because the police across this country are not going after the supply of drugs. They're going after the user. And that's the reason our prisons are full. And that's why we have this phony crime wave and these phony crime statistics and this phony need for more prisons. These are victimless crimes that we have no business even sticking our nose into. Many of you out there are shaking your head. Oh, he's going to talk about legalizing drugs. No, ladies and gentlemen, that's not what I'm going to do at all. I'm going to tell you that under the common law and the real law of this nation, and any law that makes any sense whatsoever, there is no crime if there is no victim. If no one makes a complaint, if no one can swear in a court of law that they have been damaged, there is no victim, there is no crime. It has been engineered, ladies and gentlemen, to convince you to give up your rights. And it is working. And to give up your guns, and it is working. And to give up your sovereignty, it is working. To give up your nation, it is working. To give up your Constitution and Bill of Rights, the only protection of your rights, and it is working. And now the United Nations is taking aim at world gun control, and that's not all that they are doing. Being brought up for ratification by the United States Senate through a request of the Marxist president in SR 70 and HR 15, which there are purportedly 48 sponsors in the Senate, 67 needed to ratify, is the adoption of the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child. None of you have read the Convention on the Rights of the Child. If any of you have, there's very few of you, I can guarantee you. Basically what it says, ladies and gentlemen, is that the state will control your children, can take your children away at any time for any reason that they see fit, and they can call anything that they wish child abuse. In this treaty, they even set a limit, which you must earn at different ages of the child's life in order to provide the proper economic environment for the child. This is a draconian document guaranteed to destroy what is left of the family and take your children out of the home to be raised by the state. The one world totalitarian socialist government. If you value your children, you had better listen. I told you I was going to scare you to death tonight. I was not joking. Not joking. Now, anyone just cursorily sifting through this document would think, why not Rights for the Child? Ladies and gentlemen, rights incur risk, and risk demands responsibility. Rights are given to those who are responsible and who understand the rights and the actions. If you tell a child that they must be treated in a certain way, there are times in a child's life when they will be angry with the parents. And you can see this happening today. A child says something that they do not mean to a teacher at school, and the next day the child is taken from the home. The child recants and says, no, I was just mad at my mother and father. I didn't mean to be taken from my home. And the mother and father are besides themselves because now they're embroiled in a legal battle and paying hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees to get their child back because some twit socialist said that they were child abusers. Children are not capable of being responsible and understanding what rights are or how they should be used. And I guarantee you many people will be hurt if this is adopted. You must stop this in its tracks, and you must do it now. The rights of the child are taken care of by the laws of this nation as it is. We do not need world government to tell us how to treat our children. There are laws in place in this nation, many of them already over the line. Many of them already infringing upon the rights, not only of the children, but of the parents. Many homes have already been wrecked by the socialist desire to dictate how parents will raise their children, educate their children, what they will teach their children, what religious ideas, values that they will instill in their children. And now, the Marxist criminal President Clinton has asked the Senate to push this through, sneak it through. Actually, there's been no publicity to adopt, by advice and consent of the Senate, the Treaty on the Rights of the Child, the United Nations Treaty on the Rights of the Child, which will not only take the responsibility of the child from the parents and give it to the state, but will give it to the United Nations under this treaty. As I have explained on this broadcast before, the executive branch and the judicial branch, which is working for the executive branch under the declared emergency powers, that treaties supersede the Constitution and become the law of the land. It is erroneous, intentionally erroneous. It is treason, in fact. But they are doing it. I would just read a few small, in fact, maybe I'll just read a couple, because I don't have to read very many. For the purposes of the present convention, a child means every human being below the age of 18 years, unless under the law applicable to the child majority is attained earlier. States party shall respect and ensure the rights set forth in the present convention to each child within their jurisdiction without discrimination of any kind, irrespective of the child or his or her parents or legal guardian's race, color, sex, language, religion, political or other opinion, national, ethnic, or social origin, property, disability, birth, or other status. States parties shall take all appropriate measures to ensure that the child is protected against all forms of discrimination or punishment on the basis of the status, activities, expressed opinions, or beliefs of the child's parents, legal guardians, or family members. Need I continue? Let me continue. Let me bend your ears. Let me and Vogel some smoke to begin to rise from your nostrils. In all actions concerning children, whether undertaken by public or private social welfare institutions, courts of law, administrative authorities, or legislative bodies, the best interests of the child shall be primary consideration. Who determines what the best interest of the child is? States parties undertake to ensure the child such protection and care as is necessary for his or her well-being. States parties shall ensure that the institutions, services, and facilities responsible for the care or protection of children shall conform with the standards established by competent authorities, particularly in the areas of safety, health, and the number and suitability of their staff, as well as competent supervision. States parties shall undertake all appropriate legislative, administrative, and other measures for the implementation of the rights recognized in the present convention with regard to economic, social, and cultural rights. States parties shall undertake such measures to the maximum extent of their available resources and where needed within the framework of international cooperation. Are you smoking yet? The child shall be registered immediately after birth and shall have the right from birth to a name, the right to acquire a nationality, and as far as possible, the right to know and be cared for by his or her parents. States parties shall ensure the implementation of these rights in accordance with their national law and their obligations under the relevant international instruments in this field, in particular where the child would otherwise be stateless. I could go on and on and on. Minimum economic stability. International adoption. Not of orphans, ladies and gentlemen, of children removed from the home because of parental inadequacy, not enough income being brought in by the parents. The state does not believe that the children are being taught the right or proper values. Children being taught religious values against their will. In other words, if a 4-year-old child says that he or she does not wish to go to church and learn the religious values of the parents, if the parents force the child to go to church, the parents are now child abusers. You have no idea. Now listen to this. You want to make sure that your children associate with good companions. You don't want them associating with gang members, criminals, children who do not wish to learn. Article 15, paragraph 1. States parties recognize the rights of the child to freedom of association and to freedom of peaceful assembly. Which means you can no longer tell them who they can associate with or what organizations they can join or what they can take part in. There are no age restrictions on any of this. It says no restrictions may be placed on the exercise of these rights other than those imposed in conformity with the law and which are necessary in a democratic society in the interest of national security. Are you ready for this? No child shall be subjected to arbitrary or unlawful interference with his or her privacy, family, home, or correspondence, nor to unlawful attacks on his or her honor and reputation. The child has the right to the protection of the law against such interference or attacks. Now, what are they talking about, folks? They're talking about parental requirements and discipline. This is amazing. I could go on and on and on. It even says that the wishes of the child shall be taken into consideration in family decisions when the child has reached certain age points in their life to be able to, they say, make decisions. In other words, if you have four children and they are all, let's say, 12 years old, and you want to go on vacation according to this, if they outvote you, you're going to Disneyland, whether you can afford it or not. Folks, this is the biggest piece of bullshit garbage I have seen in my life. And if you don't stop it now, you're going to lose your children, all of us. And the goal is ultimately, this is the plan, folks, that you will not be allowed to have children unless you have a permission to do so. Shortly after the child is born, the child will be taken and raised by the state. That's the ultimate goal of these people, and this is just one more step in that direction. William Clinton is a Marxist communist traitor. This document, if adopted by the Senate, is treason. And if you love your children, you had better not allow this to happen. Call your senator. Ask for a complete copy on the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child, which is being considered by the United States Senate and the House of Representatives right now under SR 70 and HR 15. There are purportedly 48 sponsors in the Senate already, and they only need 67 to ratify. The treaty was signed November the 29th, 1989, by the United States representative to the United Nations. It has not been ratified by the Senate, and if it is not ratified, cannot be adopted. Remember, if this becomes the law of the land, nothing will save you from the loss of your children.
Bill, I need to ask you if you would answer a caller's request that you explain what happens to the militia age of, I believe, 17 years.
I don't understand.
If the year 18 years is going to be the year that the child will attain,
they'll
be under this control.
The treaty, under the erroneous and treasonous interpretation of the executive branch and judicial branch of the government, supersedes the Constitution and the present law and becomes the supreme law of the land. Thank you. The hour of the time, ladies and gentlemen, is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. Recently, we have been receiving information that sometime in July, certain stores and facilities will not be allowed to sell food storage products, MREs, which are the meals ready to eat packages. And according to our information, certain written information recently, I revealed to you that our money is going to be changed. And I gave you a time frame. That time frame is still good, ladies and gentlemen. It may happen much sooner than that. When it does, the value of the dollar will plummet. 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 Life as we know it will disappear. You had better take steps now to protect yourselves and your family against what is becoming more and more imminent every day. We are entering into a police state the likes of which the average American cannot even envision, much less bring him or herself to believe that it is happening, even though they see it every day, forming around them with their very own eyes, and with their ears, and with that sickening, ever-increasing, sickening feeling in your gut. Call Swiss America Trading. Make some provisions to protect at least some of what you have. For you're not likely to have it much longer. The number is 1-800-289-2646. 1-800-289-2646. It is already becoming increasingly more difficult to trade in gold and silver. They are placing more and more restrictions upon those who deal in gold and silver. I learned these things this last weekend in Phoenix. I am aware of some of the restrictions they have placed upon the dealers who deal in gold and silver coin. You are not. If you would like to know what those are, call Swiss America Trading and ask them while you're asking them about methods or ways to protect your financial security in your future. Call now, 1-800-289-2646. Do it, folks, before it's too late. Do it right now. Don't wait another moment. You may be very, very sorry.
Tampa, Florida, Sunday, May 22nd, 1994. Changing face of money as counterfeiters get better, the Treasury gets ready to update the dollar. American office workers armed with advanced color copiers are doing what Colombian counterfeiters and Iranian terrorists could not, forcing the United States Treasury to retire the greenback. Overseas, the dollar serves as the international currency of choice. Constantly rising demand for dollars has allowed the U.S. to print billions of $100 bills for pennies each and spend them abroad at face value. Treasury officials declined to talk about the overseas counterfeiting threat. They have also blocked public hearings on the issue, according to congressional aides. Last year, congressmen upset at what they said was a slow response from the Treasury introduced a bill to force a currency redesign. They warned that lack of action threatened to undermine confidence in the dollar. And I tell you that action will destroy confidence in the dollar. The money will look much like European money now in use, ladies and gentlemen. They are using the excuse of counterfeiting, overseas. Why overseas? So that you can't check on it. You can't find it here, folks. So they claim that it's all happening overseas, and with the dollars being traded overseas, not with the money traded here. The dollar draws much of its prestige in the international community from the fact that people all over the world, often in violation of local law, save United States cash. If you call in your money once, there's a threat you'll do it again. The United States dollar is a very anonymous portable asset. If you recall it, it becomes a worthless asset to those who wanted anonymous portable wealth. A recall would cause a collapse in the value of the dollar, said Joseph Budansky, director of the House Republican Task Force on Terrorism and Unconventional Warfare. In Eastern Europe, for years, people bought dollars as the safest possible investment. A recall would mean the United States can no longer control the quality of its currency, he said. Once again, unfortunately, I was right. A New York Times report Los Angeles. Talk about a green movement. For decades, the Federal Reserve has disposed of its old, worn-out currency by shredding it and burying the multi-billion-dollar confetti in landfills. But as the number of available landfills declines and concern over the environment grows, Federal Reserve banks across the country are trying to find companies that can recycle the 7,000 tons of tired money, enough to fill 1,750 dump trucks that are shredded each year. They're now opening it up for different uses. You may be able to buy the old money and use it as roofing, which shed rain, not taxes. Now why would they be willing to put old money that was destined for destruction back into public hands? Maybe being able to buy $100 bills for as little as $5. Think about it. Think hard about it, dear sheeple. report, we have to thank Chris Schreckengost for doing the general research. The following information comes directly from the United States Postal Service. The United States Postal Service was written and faxed to us by General Purpose U.S. Services Smart Card, U.S. Card, written by C.R. Chamberlain, United States Postal Service, March 1994. We have had this in our hands for a long time. We have many documents in our hands for a long time, ladies and gentlemen. However, we must duplicate the original research before we can ever use it. We have received what we have been waiting for. This consists of introduction, requirements of the citizen and the government, the design of the smart card, onboard functions, supporting infrastructure, a summary, operations, acquiring and activating the U.S. card, granting limited access to others, maintaining application support data, transaction audit trail, card replacement, and a conclusion. The introduction. The paper describes a proposed set of functions for a general-purpose government services smart card that the author believes builds upon several initiatives already underway. The initiatives include the recertification of DES, a proposed public key infrastructure for managing public key certificates, government agencies exploring the use of attribute certificates, initial X500 systems being built by government and private sector, emerging requirements for a healthcare card and for an electronic benefits transfer EBT card, adoption of a digital signature standard, and a need to reinvent the delivery of government services around such themes as one-stop shopping. The smart card is a personal interface tool to national information infrastructure applications, enhances a person's control of their data. Digital security technologies such as public key cryptography and digital signatures are used to secure the integrity of the smart card and its infrastructure. The smart card, with an infrastructure that is directory services, user certificates, public access terminals, personal identification numbers, and upfront issuance identification authentication, coupled with the smart card's onboard features, provides a system for personal transactions, absolute personal identification, transactions that businesses, the government, and the individual can rely upon for privacy and integrity. The cashless society is upon us. Requirements: each party to smart card usage, including businesses and foreign governments, will bring their own set of requirements, but those of domestic United States government organizations and citizens are briefly addressed here. Citizen: increasingly, the use of electronic transactions enabled by the smart card will be paperless and subject to electronic remote snooping. In order to protect the citizen and to not unreasonably complicate life, the U.S. Services smart card needs to support: 1. Privacy. Assurance exists that parties not approved for accessing data on the card cannot access information. Additional assurances are needed that unintended secondary uses of the information generated through the use of the U.S. card are not allowed. Information may need to be generally available to a functional area, industry, basic health care data for emergency care, or to a subset of an industry, detailed health test results to doctors, but that information should not flow readily across functional boundaries, health test results to bankers or prospective employers. Integrity: assurances that the data is accurate, cannot be altered accidentally or through unauthorized access. Intuitive operations: the use of the card follows a logical sequence able to be performed without training. Personalized interaction: ability to support English as well as a different language of preference. Where literacy is a problem, the U.S. card data should be machine readable and machine spoken in the language of preference. No cost: the U.S. card is part of the government's infrastructure and there should be no direct cost to the citizen. However, a family of value-added services may be enabled by the U.S. card that might carry transaction fees such as ordering government publications. Replacements: the U.S. card must be able to be rapidly replaced if lost, stolen, or damaged. And once a good number of them have been lost, stolen, or damaged repeatedly, that will be the new excuse used to go to a microchip implant. Auditability. Transactional uses must be logged and reviewable to enable review of disputed transactions or just to facilitate record keeping. This chronological log must be under the control of the U.S. card holder and not available to any organization without the holder's permission to prevent use of the log for surveillance purposes. Ha, ha, ha. One card, a single card, rather than several cards, simplifies the carrying the card and always having the right card for interacting with the government, for it will be the only card and the only money and the only requirement for transactions. From the government, integrity, assurance that the data is accurate, cannot be altered accidentally or through unauthorized access. User authentication and transaction repudiation, assurance of the identity of someone doing business with the government and the ability to enforce the validity of a transaction after its completion. These qualities help prevent fraud. Intuitive operations. The use of the card follows a logical sequence able to be performed without training. Cost performance. The cost of providing the U.S. card must be no more than a few dollars per citizen per year, with costs recoverable through reengineering services to much lower total service delivery costs enabled by the U.S. card and its infrastructure. Improved service to citizens. Easy to use 24-hour service, electronic access to government services. Single face to citizens, one card, consolidated operations to lower costs and maintain an ease of use. Expandable for new uses, existing or upgradable capacity to handle new applications or increased functionality. International acceptance, a standard U.S. card that can be used by U.S. citizens overseas and interoperable with similar foreign systems where advantageous. The new world economic order is here. You have been being brainwashed for years, remember? AT&T, one world, one card. Are you there? Again, ladies and gentlemen, I was right. For this was all outlined in my book, Behold a Pale Horse, years ago. Everything that is coming out now, I wrote in my book years ago, and I was called a lunatic, conspiracy freak, liar. I was shunned. I could not practice my profession anymore. My family and I were literally relegated to the gutter. Well, we have climbed back out, and time has proven that I, over all others, have been right. I do not take much pride in that, for it means that being right is the death knell for this nation. And I could go on and on and on and on and on, ladies and gentlemen, because there are pages and pages and pages of this, all official documents from the United States Postal Service. If you would like to have a copy, send us. Well, I'd better wait and count these pages first. I'll tell you what. You send us $13, we'll send you this document postpaid, a full copy. No, I'm not going to do that. Send us $15 and we'll send you this document postpaid, all the pages, all of it. And the reason I'm going to ask for $15 is because a portion of the money that we get after we have paid the postal and shipping costs will be sent to Chris Schreckengoss, who did the original research work on this. The New World Order is upon us. Washington, D.C. is full of traitors working treason against us. There is no constitutional government in place. The Constitution, in fact, is not in place. You can still work constitutional law if you're one of the few lucky ones who know how to use it in a court. But how much longer they're going to allow us to do this, I do not know. I do not know, ladies and gentlemen, therefore cannot make any predictions about when to lock and load and get ready to rock and roll, as we used to say in Vietnam. But that time is not far off, and if you've been vacillating, you had better either form or join an existing militia unit, and you had better get ready to fight for your freedom. For the time is not far off when that is exactly what you are going to be required to do, or you are going to be a slave in the New World Order, one world, using one card, working where you're told. And if you dare to be politically incorrect, your account will be zeroed out. You see, with a cashless society comes absolute and total control. I've been telling you for years, the slavery will not be behind barbed wire. It will be slavery in a system of cashless debt shackled to a computer. And the way that they will keep you imprisoned is as long as you are a trustworthy, politically correct New World Order person, your account will be good wherever you go. If, on the other hand, you say something that the establishment does not like to hear, they can render your account inoperable except in one grocery store, at one place of work, on only one public conveyance. And if you really got snotty, why, they could just slap you down and zero out your account forever. And of course, no one would help you, for if they did, they would face the same punishment. We are on the verge of going backward in our history. From the penultimate success of all humans who have lived upon this earth, which culminated in the writing of the Constitution of the United States, the Bill of Rights, based upon that wonderful document that originally set us free, the Declaration of Independence. And for the first time in the history of the world, gave men real freedom. And you are about to lose it all and go backwards into a state of slavery where you will be owned just as sure as you think you own your automobile. And where they will control every single moment of your life from birth till death. Good night. May God save this republic. May God bless you, and may God have mercy on our souls.